What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Round Ball Stew on the Roto World Network. I'm Dan Titus. That's Rafael Johnson, and we are at week 24. Most of the fantasy basketball season should be over, but I do understand there are some degenerates out there and risk takers that want to ride this all the way through their NBA regular season, which ends this Sunday. But Raf, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Got some things to get off my chest regarding the Portland Trail Blazers, but we can do that a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah,
the Let's Portland Trail Blazers.
So positives. Hopefully, you're able to capture your fantasy basketball titles. If you weren't, you know, make sure that you lock back into Round Ball Stew. We're going to be giving you guys episodes throughout the offseason, keeping you apprised of everything that's going on, whether it be draft selections, trade rumors, free agency, all of that stuff, summer league. So make sure you continue to tap in with us. But yeah, since it's the final week of the NBA season, there's going to be some stuff going down, whether it be resting, injuries. And I know that's what Raf was kind of alluding to with the Portland Trailblazers and their injury report. But on a positive note, Joel Embiid last night, 52 points against the Boston Celtics. Against the Boston Celtics. The Sixers were able to finally get a victory and break that streak of four games losing to the Boston Celtics. I mean, I think that was the stamp of the MVP. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it keeps them alive in the race for the two seed. I think there's still two games back with three to play, and Boston has the head-to-head tiebreaker, so it's still going to be difficult for Philly to get that. But, you know, I think the performance that Embiid put forth, 52 points on good shooting percentages, yeah. You know, compare that to Jokic having his struggles in his first game back and a loss to the Rockets. I think that the final games, obviously not the final game for either guy, but those last impressions, I think, going to be what pushes Embiid over the top. And I think hopefully once he gets his MVP, we can just stop talking about all of it, you know, at this point. But I doubt that's going to happen. So,
yeah. I mean, the Boston Celtics were without Jaylen Brown, and they were also out Robert Williams. So, you know, to only keep it at a 2-point game. I mean, the end of that game was absolutely nuts. I, of course, the Sixers. Sixers 2.5. That did not go well on Battle of the Bets. But, PJ Tucker, great ending of the game there. Just like huge boost from the 3-point line, but awful foul at the end of the game there. I think that it was as you said, I think that this race is really coming down to who's going to screw up the least. And Jokic having 8 turnovers against the Houston Rockets is certainly something that's not going to bode well for voters, but who knows? I don't know. This still could end up as a co-MVP situation. Both outstanding players, and it was just great to see Embiid go out for another monster game against one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Going to another game in the Eastern Conference, not one of the best teams. Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers are. Orlando Magic are not. They've officially been eliminated from playoff contention. But, you know, they hung around and played well. Mm-hmm. But shout out to Donovan Mitchell. 4 straight 40-point performances, 4th player in NBA history to do so, joining Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, James Harden. Pretty special what he's been doing. I know I asked you last week, where would you draft him next year? Does this give you – I mean, does another 40-point performance move you any higher up his rankings of where you would rank him or where you would draft him next season?
Not too much, because that next game is another game against the Magic on Thursday. And as you mentioned, they're officially eliminated from postseason contention. That's not the type of team that strikes me as one that's going to put guys on ice, because they still have a lot of young talent that needs to get game reps. So I think it'd be fine. But in terms of Mitchell, I don't think this hot stretch is going to change too much for me. I think he's a second rounder. I think at the earliest I would go is at that turn between rounds 1 and 2. But I don't think I would go in terms of like a lock first round pick. Just because I think in terms of guards, I prefer someone like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Tyrese Halliburton, because they can get you the assists and all that stuff. That Mitchell, he's more primarily of a scorer. He can get you assists, obviously, but not to the level of those guys. And I think if I'm going to go with a point guard that early, I want one of those two instead of him.
Yeah, it's going to be – yeah, I would say an early second-round pick. Like, I think he's definitely charting into the Damian Lillard territory, maybe. You know, he was like a – Lillard was, like, right outside the first round.
Yeah.
Trae Young, you know, in that same conversation. But, yeah, I agree with you in terms of just Donovan Mitchell. I'd be surprised if they played on Thursday, to be honest, just because they already have it locked up.
They're in
the four seed pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no reasoning to kind of force them out there. Him and Evan Mobley. So if you have those guys rostered, could be Caris LeVert's season coming up pretty soon here. Wanted to also touch on Andrew Wiggins and his imminent return to the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, he was going through personal matters, and the organization did a great job of protecting his privacy. The media as well. Bob Myers acknowledged that in a post-game presser. But just want to get your thoughts on what this could potentially do for the Golden State Warriors, as they're right now they're locked into the five. They're not locked in. Yeah. They're tied for the five seed. And so it's going to be a pretty interesting ending to the season for seeds 6 through 10 here, or 5 through 10, I should say. But what do you think this does for the Warriors? I think it's going to be a great thing.
Oh yeah, it's huge. Most notably on a defensive end. You know, obviously you have Draymond Green. Klay Thompson is still a good defender, even though he's not defending at the level that he did before those injuries, which is what you would expect. But you get another high level wing defender in Wiggins back. He can give them good production offensively as well, but I think the defensive impact is going to be what's going to be especially big for that group going into the postseason.
Yeah, I think they're going to hit their stride right at the right time. And, you know, Wiggins admitted that he's been staying in shape, getting in the gym, so it shouldn't take much ramp-up time for him to get back into the swing of things. Probably puts a damper on Gary Payton Jr. or Gary Payton II a little bit, maybe Jonathan Kuminga, but I think Kuminga's going to be a guy that's going to definitely remain in the rotation. Moses Moody's probably going to go back to the bench, but I think that this is going to be a great thing for the Warriors, that they're going to – this is the team that you don't want to see catch stride, you know, as you're getting into the playoffs here. Definitely going to be a dangerous team as a 5 or 6 seed wherever they end up. Didn't have it on here, but I figured it's worthwhile to mention the Mavericks and their implosion. And news coming out that Luka's out here complaining that, you know, my defense may not be the best. I've been playing for 3 straight years with no breaks. But it also came out that Kyrie, despite having been eligible for an extension, is still going to test free agency. So this is pretty much just blowing up in Mark Cuban's and the Dallas Mavericks' face right now for what they gave up, the potential of not keeping Kyrie Irving, and pretty much Luka admitting, like, yo, we messed up. Jalen Brunson was the guy. We had him here, and we let him go. So, yeah, just want to get your thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks situation.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone made a joke on Twitter. I guess Mark Cuban was complaining about something wrong with his account and how he paid for Twitter Blue. Like, he's willing to pay for that, but he wasn't willing to pay Jalen Brunson. I thought that was pretty funny. But, I think a lot of us knew that Brunson was good. But, one, I don't know if we knew that he would be a borderline elite point guard as he's been with the Knicks. And we also didn't realize just how impactful his exit was in Dallas. So I think that's part of it. And I think there's something to what Luka said about playing 3 straight years. You know, the schedule's been weird because of COVID. You know, they had the 4-month hiatus 2020, then a quick restart to the next season. That ran long until almost July, if I'm not mistaken. And then you start off at the regular point the following season. So maybe, hopefully this bodes well from a fantasy and a real basketball standpoint for next season, but it doesn't really help the Mavericks now, obviously. So, and they're at a point where I don't want to say that they have to re-sign Kyrie, but you give up what they gave up. I don't know. It might be in their best interest to shut this thing down, even though it sounds weird to say. That pick lands outside of the top 10. It's going to New York. And that's a franchise that hasn't been great when it comes to attracting free agents. So they've had to do these things via trades. But I think they need some sort of infusion of young talent with that roster that can help them out, because the guys that they have around Luka and Kyrie, if he's part of their future plans, really aren't cutting it right now.
Yeah. Christian Wood isn't cutting it. I like what I've seen out of Jaden Hardy. Like, he looks good. Yeah. I think Josh Green could be a good rotational player, but like, is he, that's not playoff contention type squad right there. That's rebuilding.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think they do need to mail it in to be able to give up that pick that could go to Brooklyn, man. That would just be another L upon the L's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This one's going to New York because of the Porzingis trade. Yeah. And then they have future picks that are going to Brooklyn.
It gets worse. Man, that is brutal. Speaking of brutal, Jamal Murray suffered a thumb injury last night. Good news for Bruce Brown, I guess. If you're still playing in fantasy, he's like about 55% rostered. He'll likely step into those minutes. But yeah, this is the wrong time. Do we get? I didn't see much of an update on Jamal Murray's thumb injury, but did you hear anything?
No, he was questionable, but they never brought him back in. So that's the extent of what I heard last night. They never announced that he would not return, but. You know, at that point, there's still two games up on Memphis. There's still a little bit of work to be done to lock down that one seed. But I think, if anything, you're more concerned about the way in which they've been playing. Jokic coming back despite the 8 turnovers is big for them, but the chemistry seemed a bit off. And so in that regard, the Murray injury does not help at all.
Man, and it definitely does not at this stage in the game. I think that they'll be all right. I think it was probably a precautionary thing. Haven't heard anything regarding surgery or anything like that. So hopefully it's just something that, you know, the Nuggets are in a great position right now. Mm-hmm. They'll go cruising into the playoffs. So hopefully Jamal Murray is good, because we definitely want to see a healthy Nuggets squad actually make a run at this. The Portland Trail Blazers that we talked about, I think this is soapbox time. Pretty much everyone that I would think was in probably the top seven of their rotation has been ruled out over the last couple of games. Wild spreads, you know, 19 and a half points. They wound up beating the Timberwolves a couple games ago. That was really embarrassing loss for the Timberwolves. And then they come back, you know, 18 and a half point dogs against the Grizzlies, and pretty much keep it competitive. I don't know. There's something about the parity in the league now that the talent is just so good, or maybe it's just that these good teams just kind of, you know, go through the motions and don't really take these teams too seriously. But, you know, from a fantasy perspective, man, you're digging in the crates for fantasy value right now. And Drew Eubanks, definitely somebody that will continue to roster. Just a blocking machine, but also provides a low end double double. But Skylar Mays has emerged as a fantasy asset. Because mainly because Shaedon Sharpe got benched in the fourth. So is Shaedon Sharpe even a person you can rely on now? Matisse Thybulle was ruled out in advance. Like, they're trying to save Matisse Thybulle. Who else is going to be out next week or next game? The floor is yours.
I'm just trying not to cuss right now. Like, that was the Shaedon Sharpe situation last night was ridiculous. Like, 20 points in 29 minutes. I couldn't imagine being a fantasy manager and you have him rostered. Like, all right, he's playing well. Give him a good line here. Get a quick break. Maybe come back in and kind of close this thing out the last 3 or 4 minutes. Subbed out with 8 to go. Did not come back. I don't know. It's not like he's someone where he's proven. He's played well recently, but I'd imagine that if you're looking at someone as a potential building block, you're going to want him to get all the live game reps that he can down the stretch. And let's be honest, that whole team is constituted is not going to win games. Like, you don't need to put the guy on ice to make sure you don't win. Like, we're not talking about a
super. They weren't winning with Lillard in the lineup.
Exactly. We're not talking about a sleepy Floyd versus the Lakers type situation where he might go off and win this game by himself. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. And it goes back to the conversation we had last week about when you should end fantasy seasons, different types of formats, because it's like the last 3 to 4 weeks are borderline waste from a fantasy standpoint. You know, so I don't know, man.
The Portland wasteland. Still some things you can extract from it, but like, yeah, you're right, man. Like, Shaedon Sharpe, 20 points in 29 minutes. Dude was cooking. And then he just like, all right, let's just pull him. So I think we can assume that we're not going to see much of Shaedon Sharpe down the stretch, unfortunately. So yeah, pick up Skylar Mays. He had 24 points, almost. What do you have? Yeah, 8 rebounds, 7 dimes, and only and no turnovers. So yeah, looking real solid there. And I guess the final thing I think it's important to talk about is what's going on with this playoff race. Touch on a bit, you know, the Western Conference is obviously the most competitive here, with seeds 5 through 10, like really in a freaking, I mean, it's a tight race. How many games have we got separating right now? It's
you've got four
the Warriors, games in the lost column. Yeah.
Warriors and the Mavericks.
Warriors, Mavericks. We got the Clippers tied. So yeah, and then the Lakers. So the Lakers decided to just bench everybody tomorrow. You know, LeBron's not going to play. Anthony Davis, I believe D'Lo is also questionable. This is some weird. This is some interesting strategy here.
that's what happens when you don't take care of business. I guarantee you, if they closed out Utah when they should have, AD and LeBron are probably playing tonight against the Clippers. Instead, they don't do it, goes overtime, and now those guys are out. And they've already lost the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Clippers. And Clippers are 3-0 in the regular season series, so that's not going to matter. But still, if you're the Lakers, I think that makes it all the more important that you win this game because you need to finish a game ahead of them in order to get that the higher seed. And right now we're talking the difference between 6 and 7. And you look at the age of these guys, you know, the tread on the tires, so to speak. The last thing I think you'd want is for them to be playing in a play-in tournament. So I don't know, man. Maybe Darvin Ham and those guys know something that I don't, but see how it works out for them.
Good luck. I'm curious. Who do you think is going to win out between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Mavs here? I mean, the Jazz are still have an outside chance here. They're only a game out in the loss column. So, like, these three teams are really going to be fighting it out over the course of the next 4 days.
I think Dallas will ultimately get it done. The thing is, you know, Oklahoma City, 2 games left. Utah and Memphis. That Memphis game probably won't mean anything in terms of seeding, because I think Memphis pretty much locked into the 2 at this point. Not officially, but it's really close to that. Dallas needs to beat them by a game because Oklahoma City has the head-to-head tiebreaker. So I just need to bring up Dallas's schedule here to take a quick look at it. Their last three
Dallas
games,
Sacramento, Chicago, and San Antonio. So that's probably two. I mean, that's three potential victories there. We'll see what Sacramento decides to do if they want to rest anyone. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, but you're kind of hoping the Kings sit there, guys. I think Chicago is still fighting for positioning. San Antonio is San Antonio. We know that they're done. So I think it'll be funny to see who the Spurs put out there on Sunday. That's one team I would not touch at all, that slate, if you're playing fantasy or DFS.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, the Mavs have to win out to get and get help to make the play-in because they don't have the tiebreaker versus OKC. Man, that is this is the craziest playoff race I think we've had in a long time. I mean, I think the play-in tournament has definitely been a nice bonus for the NBA because at least we're getting these bottom feeders that may not, you know, they may not make a title run, but at least we're getting some competition late in the season. Moving over to the Eastern Conference here, where the Brooklyn Nets are looking pretty good in terms of it's really a battle between the Heat and the Brooklyn Nets to get that sixth seed. Only a game out are the Miami Heat. That's going to be very important. And then the Atlanta Hawks are anywhere between the 8 and the 10 spot, along with Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls. I don't think the Pacers are going to catch that 10 seed. You know, they're four.
Those teams are all eliminated. So we know the 10 who are going to be in the East. We just don't know the exact order outside of Cleveland versus New York.
Right. So Trae Young took off last night. We'll see. They've been floating back and forth over 500. Pretty inconsistent team, but, you know, it's certainly dangerous, specifically what they did to the Knicks last year. The Toronto Raptors, I don't know, man. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not too interested actually in much of that back end, you know, outside of the top five. I think those are the only serious teams in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks,
I'd agree with
Cleveland,
that.
Sixers, Boston, and the Bucks, obviously. Let's get into some injury stuff, some additional stuff. But before you do, make sure you download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in your app store today. So the Jazz, we talked about them a little bit, just that they have an outside chance to actually sneak in there. But Walker Kessler and Lauri Markkanen are probably not going to be playing again this season. Colin Sexton did return last night, which is interesting. But what are your expectations here down the stretch for Utah? Anybody worth rostering?
I think Sexton, I think he's still going to be around that 16 to 20 minute mark just because of the injury that we're dealing with here, missing an extended period of time with the hamstring. That said, I think he's pretty much safe from being shut down just because they still need to see what they have there. Is he a potential point guard of the future? Is he someone who has to play off the ball? You hope he's not going to be in a situation where they think he's best served coming off the bench because they paid a lot of money to get that deal done. To bring him off the bench like $75 million, that would not be a good situation if you're the Utah Jazz. So I think they want to figure that out. Talen Horton-Tucker's in a similar boat, albeit at a much lower price point in terms of salary. So I think those two guys will be fine. Luka Samanić has given him good minutes recently. So I think that's someone else to keep an eye out for down the stretch. Kelly Olynyk, I'm not too sure about. I think he might be a shutdown candidate, but I think he's someone I would not risk anything with at this point. So Samanić, Sexton, THT, and Chris Dunn, all the guys I really like right now.
And Ogbaji.
I forgot about him.
You've definitely been touting him for at least the last few weeks. Definitely a good threat from three, scoring. Doesn't really do much for rebounds and assists, but you know, he definitely plays defense a little bit too. So I think he's gonna benefit. We're not gonna see Jordan Clarkson for much. All these vets are probably gonna be rested down the stretch. Just doesn't make sense to play them, especially with your main guys out. And then also the Wizards have had a really interesting, sorry, Adam, you just got slaughtered last night by Giannis. Adam's our producer and loyal Wizards supporter, unfortunately. But yeah, their injury report is just looking gross. Kuzma out, Porzingis been chilling. DeLon Wright is now missing time. Johnny Davis looks pretty good.
Johnny Davis, 20 looking, with a full line last night.
So he's looking pretty good. So, like, I think that's a player. Washington actually has three games the last over the course of the next 4 days, 5 days. I can't count. but they play Atlanta, Miami, and Houston. Houston, I mean, Sunday night is going to be a gross like slate. It's 15 games. I don't know what the NBA is doing, throwing 15 games on a Sunday when they only have like three games on Saturday. Like, why? Yeah. I just don't understand it. Doesn't make, and it's a back to back for some teams too. Like, just awful scheduling. But anyway, I would definitely look at Johnny Davis if they're going to continue to have all these injuries out. He's going to be getting a lot of minutes. And Daniel Gafford also, if you need a big man, rebounds, blocks, he can help you there. But anyone else? And what are your thoughts just in general on the Washington injury report?
Yeah, this team's not very good. You know, that I don't really know too much to say, but yeah, I think Davis, Gafford, Corey Kispert, he didn't shoot the ball well.
Kispert's last been
night,
going off, yeah.
But I think he's someone else to keep an eye on because Denny Avdija has been out as well. So you know, you lose him. You pretty much got a full starting five on the injury report. Kendrick Nunn may have some viability as well. You know, he played well last night with a full line. He scored 24 points against the Bucks. So I think I would go Johnny Davis ahead of him, but Kendrick Nunn in extremely deep leagues that are still active might be worth the roll of the dice with three games left this week.
Yeah, he got that was a nasty Giannis chase down block at the rim on Kendrick Nunn last night. Just love the effort by Giannis when he actually, you know, he always goes pretty hard. Yeah. The Knicks have they're pretty much locked into the five spot now. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to see people miss games. Julius Randle still out with his ankle injury. They're going to need him healthy for the playoffs, so don't imagine he's going to be back. RJ Barrett's been going through some illness. He's questionable for Wednesday, and then just got word from the Roto World app that Jalen Brunson's going to be out. So are there people that you're interested in picking up? I mean, the Knicks do have three games also to close out the week here. Against Indiana, the Pelicans, and actually play Indiana twice. So maybe Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickley is obviously going to cook, but he's well rostered right now. Anybody else that you think you could slot into your lineups?
I would say Obi Toppin at this point. You know, I think he's going to be available in a lot of leagues still, and you know he's going to start with Brunson out as well, I think he should be able to get approach 30 minutes minimum tonight. So I think Obi Toppin is someone else to take a really hard look at. But like you mentioned, Quentin Grimes has been playing really well of late, and he's someone that his minutes are going to be pretty secure unless they decide to shut him down as well. I can't wait till we get to Sunday and end up having to see someone like Trevor Keels on the court. But yeah, good for him. But
at least it's not Evan Fournier, you know?
Yeah. Fournier's gotten rotation minutes too, but we're not going that far.
No. And the Pistons might as well end on Detroit. I thought it was pretty telling. Paul George was saying on his podcast that he hopes that the Pistons don't screw up with Jalen Duren. And I think we got our first glimpse of what maybe this future front court looks like with James Wiseman starting at center and Duren playing the four. How do you think that the Pistons are going to play this situation? Cause they still have beef stew there too. Is Jalen Duren someone you're going to draft next season based off of what, you know, the upside is of him, what he's done when he actually plays, like he's an instant double-double, can definitely give you some blocks too. I don't know. He looks like a solid big man. And for those that didn't hear about it, but Paul George was saying like how impressed he was that he's called him like a baby Dwight Howard for like how strong he is and how he can't be moved on the block and just has a lot of upside. So yeah, hopefully they don't screw it up, but I don't know. I like Jalen Duren. I'm probably going to draft him as a mid-round big if I need some rebounds.
I'm not sure if I would go that high. I think he's definitely draftable. Of the Pistons bigs, I think he's the one guy that I'd be comfortable drafting. Wiseman, you know, he still needs to get more reps. I think that's the biggest thing just because of how little he played in college and in the injuries with Golden State. So, you know, you've got him, you got Marvin Bagley, who was out last night. You got Isaiah Stewart. I think they're going to have to move someone who I'm not sure, but I think that's just too many bigs. I know they tried to get Stewart to add a 3-point shot to his game last offseason. Touch and go with that. But yeah, I think Duren's the one I'm most excited about. I don't know if I'd go middle round, but he's definitely someone that I'd take. I guess I'd say just outside the top 100 for me personally.
Yeah, mid to late is fair. I think that's definitely a fair assumption. If they do something, like I feel like Beef Stew is probably their best tradable asset. Like I don't know, maybe Marvin Bagley, but like I don't know, Bagley, he looked good in
the contract,
but I don't know. The contract mixed in with the health, I think, is definitely the red flag there. But yeah. For those that don't know or aren't paying attention to it, baseball started last week. We're in the first full week of baseball, but every season is draft season. Get your Roto-World Draft Guide bundle today and dominate your football, baseball, and or basketball drafts packed with profiles, rankings, projections. Order today and get all three Roto-World Draft Guides for the price of two, plus use promo code BERRY, that is BERRY, and save an extra 20% at checkout. So for the rest of the week, man, we went through a couple of different players. Is there anyone else that you would think that's going to be helpful for the final, you know, the final week of this season?
It's a good question. I think a lot of the guys are pretty much rostered at this point.
I got a guy.
All right, let's hear it.
Svi Mykhailiuk, that dude is actually top 40 over the last 7 days, averaging 20 points, over four rebounds, six assists, and a steal, shooting over 55% from the field. Baller, mainly because there's no one playing for the Charlotte Hornets right now. So line him up, knock him down. He's only 8% rostered, so definitely a guy I would pick up.
Yeah, I think we mentioned Skylar Mays earlier. So he's got three games too, so that's a good one. Johnny Davis. So there's only six teams that have two games the remainder of the week. So Svia's on one of those teams, but I think, as you mentioned, how productive he's been, it makes sense to go that route.
So every NBA team is playing on Sunday, so it's just a matter of, you know, try to find those spots. I think Saturday is a great game that you want to, or a great day that you want to stream somebody with only three games. And I believe, let me see what Thursday's looking like. Thursday has five games. So that's another good opportunity to stream there. So just play, play the numbers, see who's available based on those days, and good luck for the rest of the season. To close out the show, man, I think we can do a little bit of a retrospective, being that most fantasy basketball seasons are over for most players. I did an article this week sending out the fantasy awards for MVP, most improved player, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, and comeback player of the year. So to tease it, my fantasy MVP was Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm curious of who your fantasy MVP is.
I think that's fair. As you note in your article, an ADP of about 45. So, you know, you're talking about a guy who's given you top three value at that pick. I think that's a huge jump. So I have no problem with that. I think fantasy MVP, I would lean Nikola Jokic, just because he's top-ranked fantasy player. But I can see an argument for SGA. I see an argument for Joel Embiid as well. So I think it's one of those three would be my fantasy MVP of the season.
I agree with that. And I had my honorable mentions was Joel Embiid, Jokic, and Jason Tatum. Love Tatum just because, and I think I'm probably going to be putting Jason Tatum, I'm going to rank him aggressively next year because his availability is a great skill set. That dude does not take games off. Despite playing through injuries and stuff, like, he's just a very valuable fantasy player. And imagine that ceiling if Jaylen Brown actually ends up leaving. Ooh, man, he's going to be a beast. Yeah. So fantasy most improved in play. Who's your most improved player?
I think it's got to be Lauri Markkanen for me. He was a guy that I don't think anyone expected an all-star season out of him when he was included in that Donovan Mitchell trade. Like, okay, he could be a good piece, but I don't know, it felt like we had seen his ceiling early in his career in Chicago, but that's not the case. He's someone who has the look of a player that could be a future building block for that franchise, and it translated into fantasy value as well. So I think he would be my pick for most improved player.
Yeah, he was a guy that carried an ADP outside of 90 in the beginning of the season, man.
And yeah.
To be a top 20 player by year end, and just the growth, I mean, became an all-star, points just by far a career high. And then he also did it in free throw percentage, three-pointers made, field goal percentage, assists. Like, I mean, dude was just an absolute monster. I also gave honorable mentions to Tyrese Haliburton, who I think, you know, shouts to Zach Hanshew, who had him ranked as like the number two player in fantasy this year. Definitely took a leap up. Mikal Bridges, I'd say that was more so like a improvement from being a role player in Phoenix to alpha dog in Brooklyn. Also, Nick Claxton had a huge jump this year. You know, leads the league in e-field goal percentage. One of the best blockers in the game. You know, definitely did not foresee him being a top 50 player for this season. And the last person I neglected to mention was Jalen Brunson. That's certainly deserving of that, you know, being that his kind of a role change too, of role player, you know, off the bench to bona fide starter and huge fantasy asset. So yeah, I think all those are definitely reasonable options as well. What about rookie of the year? Who you got there?
I got Walker Kessler, just because of his impact on the defensive end of the floor. Good field goal percentage. Free throw line is still a bit of an issue, but I think what he brings in terms of the defense, field goal percentage and rebounding, he's my pick for fantasy rookie of the year.
Not a bad pick. I had to do the co-MVPs the first time since I think it was co-rookie of the years, excuse me. That was I think it was 2000 with Steve Francis and who was it? Steve Francis and
Elton Brand.
That's right. Elton Brand. Yeah. And before that, it was Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. But yeah, I picked Jalen Williams as well as Walker Kessler, just because I think Jalen, we saw this month-to-month improvement over the course of the season. And, you know, he was actually the most rostered player on the best fantasy teams in Yahoo leagues by 30%, which is higher than Walker Kessler, higher than Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic. So just a phenomenal season for this kid. And I'm really excited to see what this Thunder team looks like next year with Chet in the mix too. And they're going to have good draft picks. Like, this team is definitely on the rise, and Jalen Williams wound up being a steal this year and easily all rookie first team, definitely in the conversation for rookie of the year. Although Paolo Banchero is going to win from a fantasy perspective, Jalen Williams and Walker Kessler were both better. What about defensive player of the year?
You got to go with Tripp, Jaren Jackson Jr. I think the impact that he had on that Memphis defense once he got healthy is incredible. I think he averaged, what, 3 blocks a game this season? You got that. He can get you a steal as well. The rebounding is there. I think he's my pick. I could see an argument for Brook Lopez, but I just think Jaren Jackson Jr. is the premier fantasy defender this year.
He's the first person in 15 years to average at least 3 blocks and a steal. Surprisingly, Marcus Camby was a beast. He was the last person to do it. And he's also the second youngest player in NBA history to do it at only 23 years old, Jaren Jackson Jr. So sky's the limit for this guy. I think you could also give some consideration to Miles Turner. Like, he's always going to be up there in blocks. Yeah. Didn't really do much for steals, though. But I think JJJ was definitely the stocks god this season. Walker Kessler is certainly going to be up for this conversation next year. Brook Lopez early on in the season was carrying fantasy managers in the blocks. He really turned back the clock. So, yeah, I think you can also probably give a nod to Nick Claxton for a portion of the season, too. Comeback player of the year. What are you thinking there?
Oh, that's a good one. I know you have Kawhi Leonard. I think I would go with Klay Thompson. He showed flashes of what he could bring back to the table last year, but there were still questions. You know, given 2 years off with two significant injuries, what can he provide you fantasy wise? And I thought he had a very good season given the expectations. So I would go Klay Thompson for comeback player of the year.
I feel that, man. And he was on my honorable mention list. I was definitely caught up in the early season struggles, not to the Charles Barkley extent of things, but I definitely doubted whether he was going to be able to put it together. Like, he was outside the top 250 for probably the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, and then he just turned it up. You know, having these scoring barrages that he hasn't had ever in his career, you know, averaging 25 over the course of the last couple of months with Steph out. Definitely came back. I think that's a very good answer there. I think Jamal Murray also gets some credit too. Missing much of the year last year and coming back as a top 60 player certainly gets a nod there. And Kawhi Leonard, my argument for him was just that he's been a top 5 player since I think January, mid-January ish. Because he's actually been playing games. and then just his efficiency is just so good. You know, it's always going to be a question every year. Is like, how much do I want to invest in Kawhi Leonard? And you can build around Kawhi Leonard as long as you have players that can actually play to supplement those games that he's going to be missing. But he did play in his first back-to-back since April 2021 earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe he can turn the corner and maybe play on some of these back-to-backs heading into the next season. But I think the fun guy is certainly looking a lot more comfortable, and he's going to be. We'll see if Paul George can come back for this playoff run, but this Clippers team could be dangerous also at full strength coming into the playoffs. Any other superlatives that you want to give out? Any other ones that kind of pique your interest, or does that pretty much cover it?
I think we pretty much covered it. I'm sure we'll come up with some other stuff. There's always next week for that too. So, yeah, I think it's really cool article concept came up with. Obviously, we're all going to have those different types of superlatives. So, yeah, it's good to have something else to discuss as opposed to getting upset about the Portland Trailblazers.
So, I think that's a good point, Raf. And I think we're going to talk about a lot of different things over the course of the next several weeks. Have a mixture of NBA playoff talk, what we're seeing out of certain players, how that could lead into expectations for next season. We could do like a little early first round look of how we would draft certain teams if the league started now. And then we'll just have some offseason conversation. So continue to tap into Round Ball Stew. We'll be here for the foreseeable future through the playoffs. Good luck. If you're still playing fantasy right now, do what you got to do. Pick up these obscure players to get you this fantasy title. And we'll see you next week live on Twitch, 1 p.m. Eastern time on every Wednesday. All right. Talk to you. Peace.